Morning. As you get ready for Thanksgiving this week, just remember all those that aren't quite as fortunate as us. Just as you sit around the table and as you celebrate and as you enjoy your family, as I will as well, and probably eat too much food, just remember that there's those that might not have that. So just lift them up. Lift them up. Thousands of kids every day die because of malnutrition and starvation, and so I just want you to think about that. I love you guys. Thanks for helping out yesterday. Thanks for all that you do for the church. Thanks for all that you guys do for us as pastors to make life easier. We appreciate that. We come to a spot in our passage or our book that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians, and if we're going to look at a book of Scripture, we're going to look at a book written to a church, or for that matter, anything that Christ said, to do it with integrity, to do it with sincerity, we can't skip over certain parts or certain verses. Even if we don't like those things, we have to cover them. And we sort of find that in this passage as well, in chapter 6 in verses 1 through 11, we find some things that kind of make us feel uncomfortable a little bit, but it's the Word of God, and so we don't get to like run away from that or escape that. We have to face that head on, because if it conflicts with anything within us, and that's on us and not on God, God gets to determine what that looks like, what our life should look like. We don't get to determine what that looks like, even though the world might tell us that we get to kind of determine that for ourselves. If we're followers of Christ, we sacrifice that right. We give up that, our will, our rights, to live how we want to live and do what we want to do, and we choose to chase after Christ and to live like Him, and which means that there's standards, there's expectations, there's things that go along with that, and this 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about that a little bit, some challenging stuff. Now, I need to set up this passage just a little bit with where Paul's at with talking to these guys. The group he's talking to is, of course, a mixture of group, because they came together. This is a church that's kind of like us. Remember, we talked about this probably months ago now. This is a blended group. This is kind of like a mixed pot, a mixed bag of people. That's what we have here, different churches, different backgrounds, different. That's what they came from. Specifically, there was Greeks and there was Jews. And here's the deal. The Greeks in that day were all about lawsuits, were all about taking people to court. That was entertainment for them to do that, to take one another to court. Court and to do that. The Jews, on the other hand, didn't solve their problems that way. They solved their problems through the elders in the village, or the elders in the synagogue. So problem solving was done differently. And you see that in today's world, don't you? We live in a world that's very lawsuit happy, right? I mean, I was looking at some of the stupid lawsuits that have been filed, and you probably heard of some of them, but there is some crazy stuff out there. Of course, the coffee one, with McDonald's, and she didn't know it was hot, and so she sues because it's hot. But there's, one guy sued because he got mistaken for Michael Jordan for 14 years, and I'm thinking, why would you be mad that you got mistaken to be Michael Jordan for 14 years? I'm thinking you just let that go. I mean, unless you're mistaken for somebody bad, I'm mistaken for people at the post office on the list of wanted there. Yeah, people see me and they say, you're not a pastor. You're one of the... Haven't I arrested you? There's all these other ones, though. The one that sued Cracker Barrel because their kid didn't get a toy in their Cracker Barrel box thingy, that sort of a thing. You could go on and on and on. There's just, I got this list that I could share with you if you have time, this week, that you just got nothing going on in life and you just like to, just spend some time with me. I can share this with you, but one of my favorites was in 1991, the guy who sued Anheuser-Busch, because I don't know if you remember those Bud Light trucks where the guys were driving it, and as they were driving it, tropical settings would come and a beautiful woman would, come to them, and this guy sued because that didn't happen to him when he bought Bud Light and drank Bud Light, and none of that happened, and so I can't make this stuff up. He sued them for $10,000 because of misleading ads, and of course the court dismissed all that. But that's how people work. They do that sort of thing, because even people suing themselves. Guy in prison sued himself. Or another woman sued herself, or the guy. Another one of my favorites. I don't know if you wear Axe or if you've seen the Axe commercials, but Axe doesn't make women run to you or come to you just because you spray yourself or douse yourself or bury yourself in Axe. That's not automatically going to happen. But you could go on and on. But that's a setting that we're in. That's what happened here. We had Greeks that were all about the lawsuit, so when things didn't go their way, boom, let's sue. And then you had Jews that would say, let's talk about this with the elders in the village. Let's talk about this with the elders in the synagogue. Let's solve this in a spiritual way. And they got this from verse 1. This is why Paul says this to him. If any of you has a dispute with one another, then dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints. If I have a problem with you, if you have a problem with me, see, disputes are inevitable. You're going to have a problem with me at some point. You probably have a problem with me right now. That's okay. But there's a way in which we deal with that. There's a godly way in which we deal with that if we're Christians. And there's two different passages that kind of speak to this. Matthew 18 is certainly one of them. And if you don't know Matthew 18, you need to go to Matthew 18 later. Not right now, because that'll distract you and won't hear me. But Matthew 18, you got to look at that later. It talks all about how to handle disputes with a brother. How you go to them and you talk to them. You don't wait for the parking lot. You don't wait till you get home to call and to get on Facebook. And you go to the person and you talk to them about the problem you have in a godly way. You say, hey, and you try to solve it. That's what Paul was telling them. If you have a dispute with one, dare you take it to the ungodly? Dare you take it out here to the public? Okay, to the world. For them to hear this. The only reason why we would want the ungodly to hear our case is if we wanted an ungodly result. That's tricky, because some of us want an ungodly result. We're going to get to that as we keep going here today. But some of this stuff, if you go to the spiritual for your answer, if you go to those who are godly for your answer, you might not like your answer. You guys awake? I get this, because people come to me for stuff. They come to me for counseling. They come to me for help. They come to me for advice. And I don't give advice. I just share what Scripture says, because all topics have been covered by God. Every single topic. There's nothing new under the sun. It's not like we can come up with something new. Well, today's world, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, our kids should be able to, you know, just sit at home and get free money. It's not like that. Nothing changed. We just created this monster, okay? So when they come to me, that's what I share, is scriptural advice, just what the Bible says about that particular topic. And that's what Paul is referring to here as he's talking to them. Why would you dare go to the ungodly for judgment instead of the saints? Disputes are inevitable. How we handle them is really, really important, though, because we can do it in a way that honors God, or we can do it in a way that doesn't honor God. And that choice is up to us. And we face those choices every day, right? Because people frustrate us, people irritate us, people get on our nerves, people cause us conflict every day. And what we do with that, whether we take it into our own hands, whether we take it to a public court system, whether we deal with it in a way in which pleases Christ, means everything. Verses 2 and 3 speak of believers ruling over, believers judging over the world. It says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? This speaks of that the reign with Christ that one day we will have. The Bible talks about that those as Christians one day will be with Jesus and they will reign with him, and that's probably what that speaks to. We don't judge while we're in this world, but we judge believers. Remember, we talked about this last week, a couple weeks ago. We talked about that. It's our responsibility to judge those inside the church. It's absolutely, if you claim to be a Christian, it's our job to do that with one another. We iron sharpens iron. We hold one another accountable. We do that sort of thing. And fallen angels as well, the Bible talks about a little bit. Moving on, though. Verse 3, I talked about the angels thing. Verse 4, therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account, in the church. What he's saying here is, you're going before an ungodly person in the world to solve your problem, and you'd be better off with a person who is a baby Christian, because at least they have some Christianity. A man of little account in the church. You see, the thing is, the people who are in the church, Christians, have the Holy Spirit. And so when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to judging an issue or a subject or a problem, we have the mind of Christ. That's, we learned that a few weeks back as well, that we have the ability to have the mind of Christ as believers. And so if we have the mind of Christ and we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, it allows us, it qualifies us to be able to make those decisions through God's word. So even him who's the least in the church would be better than you and I going out and allowing someone who's the best mind in the world to solve our problems. Because we're spiritual and our problems are spiritual. Our problems are sin in nature, okay? And so going out into the world and looking for the world's laws or rules, or it doesn't match up. I hope you're with me here. I know I'm kind of probably not making sense, but I hope that you'll bear with me here, and I'll try to get more clear. Those who are Christians have the mind of Christ. They have the ability through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God to make decisions, to judge what is right and what is wrong, because it's identified in God's Word for us. You're not going to get that if you go out into the world and you look for that. And so you would be better going to someone who is just of least account, not wise, not necessarily high up in the church, not necessarily a elder, a council member, whatever. Just anybody who's in the church is better than somebody of the world, because God can use that person who is a believer. God has the ability to use anyone who is a believer, even if he's not grown up in a believer yet. God still can use him and give him wisdom. God can't do that with somebody who's not a believer. That's not possible. The mind of Christ doesn't come to the non-believer. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to the non-believer. But someone who's even a baby Christian, who doesn't have all the answers, can ask God for help, can seek wisdom, and God can give him instruction in that situation. Because God can speak to anybody who claims to be a believer. Verse 5, I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? We should have people who are able to handle our most of our problems are pretty trivial, but we should have people within this body where if we have an issue with one another, we have an issue with somebody else in this world, we should be able to sit down and we should be able to resolve it. We should be able to come to a resolution that's honoring to God. This is what it says in Matthew 5, and this is probably what Paul's tapping off of. He probably heard this teaching in Matthew 5, verses 39 through 42, where it says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You remember this? This is basically about lawsuits. And if someone wants to sue you, Did you know that lawsuits were scriptural? So this is just in case you're not aware of what that being talked about in Scripture. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now that's not often how we think in today's world, right? Someone messes up our order at Burger King and we're hot and bothered and we're gonna go back there and talk to the manager and ask for free coupons and we're gonna do this and if someone takes your cloak, give them your tunic as well. It goes on in verse 41. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Completely opposite thinking. See, the world thinks in one way, and Christians are supposed to think in another way. Completely different. Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you allowing him to be the decision maker for you in how you treat people and how you deal with problems and how you deal with issues? I say this to shame you. There should be somebody who can handle this. But instead, one brother goes against another in law in front of unbelievers. And you know what happens is our testimony is crushed. That's what Paul's talking about in this passage. There's three things that Paul really is getting at in these first 8 verses. The first one is our testimony is crushed. When a believer sues a believer, when we go after each other in a worldly venue, we lose our witness. We lose our credibility. And you've seen that even with churches who have made mistakes. A treasurer does this, or a pastor does this with a kid, or a priest does that. And you see that legal system played out, or should be played out in some cases. And the witness of the church is damaged. And that's what he's speaking of there. And this in front of unbelievers, it would be so much better if you were to find somebody amongst you. Go to the elders, go to the council, go to your small group, go to your Bible study, and tell them your problem and work it out there. Because you keep your testimony, you keep your witness. You lose your witness. When we lose our witness in a community, when we lose our witness amongst the unbelievers that we work with or live next to, what do we have left? It's hard for me to sue my neighbor. It's hard for me to sue the coworker that I work with and then say, oh, by the way, come to church with me Sunday. I want to tell you about Christ who forgives all sins, you know, and just erases your, slate, you know. And you with me? And this isn't to say, Paul's not talking here that there's absolutely never anything to be litigious. Is that the word I'm looking for? Is that what it means to be, to go to court or wherever to go sue somebody? He's not talking about that. There is some cases that probably need that. But even then, you seek godly advice and godly counsel and godly wisdom, and you try the godly steps before you go to that realm. Instead of just instantly, boom, you wronged me, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make a scene of it, and I'm going to lose my witness because I'm going to do it in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Hear that. You've been completely defeated already. It's not what God wants. If somebody wants our cloak, give them our tunic. If they make us go 1 mile, go 2 miles because it's worth it for him. Because Christ didn't go 1 mile, he went 2 miles. He didn't give 10% or 50%. He gave everything for you and I. And he thinks that we ought to be able to do that, and rightfully so, in this world that we live in. When we're wrong, when we're in a dispute, when we're in a disagreement, we ought to be able to do this. We ought to be able to concede. It's better to give up some property or give up some money and to win them over for Christ than it is to earn a couple of bucks or get a little property back and to lose them for eternity, to lose our testimony. You're completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Because that's not what our world tells us. You can't wrong me and you can't cheat me. Everybody's got rights and everybody's got... Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong and you do this to your brothers. This is what all too often we do. And he's reminding them that they've come together as Jews and Greeks, and there's a way to handle this, not as Jews, not as Greeks, but as Christians. You might be from this church or this background or that background or this family type. Irrelevant at this point. We come together as Christians, we, talking to you right now and me, and we forfeit however we used to think you handle it, however we would have handled it before, and we handle it this way because Scripture tells us to handle it this way. Now, verses 9 through 11 get stickier. Some of you can get up and go if you don't want to hear this part. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then this list of things, we're going to go slow over some of them. Do not be deceived. First of all, the wicked. You know what the wicked is? Do you not know that the wicked, that's a morally bad people? That's what that means, basically. And I'm pretty sure I'm there. Matter of fact, I know that. Probably most of us. So as we go through the rest of this list and you kind of go, crap, that's me. That's okay. We'll get to that in a minute, but just bear with me. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, which is premarital sex. That's me. You don't have to raise your hands. I'll just go ahead and do this for you. There's like 8 out of the 11 of these that are like me. There's like 11 words I'm going to look at here, and there's like 8 of them are me, so it's all good. I'm fine with saying this because it's the truth, and it's the only way that I get set free is to say, you know what, this was who I am. This was who I used to be, excuse me. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters, that's anybody that puts anything, you know, before God, you know, a person, a thing, you know, you place that as in higher reverence than you do your relationship with God. An idolater, that's probably all of us too. An adulterer, that's pretty clear. A male prostitute, which is why I became a prostitute, I became a pastor, I gave this up. I used to be a male prostitute. Joking, but I think that speaks for itself what that is. Nor homosexual offenders. I think that's clear. I know that's a hot topic in today's world. I don't get to determine whether that's a hot topic or not. I can only share with you what God's word says about that. This is what it says: nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, been there, nor the greedy, been there, nor drunkards, been there, nor slanderers. That's somebody who ruins somebody's reputation. They lie about somebody. They talk bad about somebody. Been there. Nor swindlers. Been there. Taking advantage of people for property gain or for material gain or for money gain. That's what a swindler is. You know, that's using people to get things, okay? When God created us to use things to get people. Are you a person that uses people to get things? It's not the right thinking. Use the things that God's put in your life to get people. Money and your material things, those are put in your life so that you can use those to get people. Oh, where was I in this fun list? Swindlers. Okay. Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. They don't get to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it's, I don't get to determine that. That's what it says. Verse 11, though, is where we find hope. And that is what some of you were. That's what I was. It's not okay if that's what we are. But if you find yourself on that list today, it's okay. You can fix that. All you got to do is say, my bad. That God isn't okay with that. I can't be a male prostitute anymore. Right? I'm sorry, guys. You've got to give that up. I can't take advantage of people anymore. I can't cheat on my wife or husband anymore. I can't. Those things have to stop. And it seems like a pretty fair list to abide by. I know some of that, you might have friends that, well, you know what, they like to be a swindler, or they like to be, you know, or they struggle with homosexuality, whatever that is. I'm sorry about that. But this doesn't exclude you for forever from heaven or the ability to get to heaven. You just have to do something about it. I don't think this list of people, if this is what you struggle with, you can never make it. I just think that has to be the old you. I just think that has to be the old. And what Paul is telling these guys is, you're a different people today. You're not just Greeks or Jews. You didn't just do things this way and that way. You're Christians. And with that, changes you. And it shouldn't be just changing your attitude. It should be changing your actions and how you treat people and how you do things and what you believe and what you follow. That is what some of you were. But you were washed. Our sins were washed. That's what that is. You were sanctified. You were sanctified. You were justified. Our sins are not looked at because of the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Whew. You can have that. I can have that. It's available to everybody. But we don't get to claim these things are okay and there's nothing wrong with them and live them out and practice them and say, but I'm a Christian. Because Jesus Christ taught us differently. God's word taught us differently. It's not hate. It's not being judgmental. It's being Christian. If you don't like being Christian, don't be Christian. But to say, you know what, I want to follow Jesus Christ means that I got to give up these things. I got to sacrifice some things. He sacrificed everything. So if I got to say, well, you know what, I really like to drink, but I can't do that in an abusive way. I can't, you know, I really like to, you know, carouse around. I can't do that. I really like material things, and I really like toys, and I really like money. It can't own you. You got to stop that. You have to have a change of attitude. Mind, heart, soul, and be different. By his blood, we're healed. By his stripes, we're made clean. It's unfair And it's offensive for us to minimize that, to try to say, yeah, I know you did all that on the cross, Jesus, but I really want to live like this. Well, then live like this, but don't include him. It's hard. It might make people angry with you or upset with you. That's okay. You are created to please one person, God. If you're right with him, you can be right with everybody else. If you're not right with him, it's really, quite frankly, irrelevant whether you're right with everybody else. Because they can't forgive your sins. They can't provide heaven for you. They can't provide eternal life. Okay, they can't provide purpose and direction and everything else for your life. So as difficult as our teaching is today, I hope that you will see, if you find yourself in this list, even in the stuff we talked about before, maybe you're a person who likes to sue people or hold disputes or deal with them in a worldly way, or if you find yourself in any of this, you can find yourself on that. That's how I used to be. This is what you were. Some of you were. You can give that stuff up and you can change. You just have to confess Jesus Christ with your mouth. You have to believe it in your heart. But more than that, you got to have your life changed. Because many people say it, but then they go out and they live in a way that doesn't line up at all with what God's word says. We got to do that. We got to do that. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your truth. Father, this list, I find myself in the majority of them as having done them. And it's embarrassing, and it's shameful. But God, I'm so grateful that through your grace and through your mercy, I can find freedom from those things. I don't have to be who I used to be. I don't have to live in the bondage or the sin or captivity or what the world has told me I needed to be or what myself convinced myself I needed to be. Father, I love you. I thank you for your son, Jesus. He changed my life. He's changed my family. He's changed my friends. I hope it'll change the people in this room. God, that it would not be about us. It wouldn't be about what we think is okay or not okay. It would be about going to your word and allowing your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us, that we would be Christians not just in name, but that we would be Christians in all of our walks of life. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.